Greetings in the name of the Creator who has summoned us each uniquely. Amen. One of the more well-known themes of the writer, minister, and theologian Frederick Buechner, who passed away actually just this week, is vocation. An often quoted passage of his is this: vocation comes from the Latin vocare, to call, and means the work a person is called to by God. There are different kinds of voices calling you to all different kinds of work. And the problem is to find out which is the voice of God rather than of society, say, or the superego, or self-interest. By and large, a good rule for finding out is this: the kind of work God usually calls you to is the kind of work, A, that you need most to do, and B, that the world most needs to have done. If you really get a kick out of your work, you've presumably met requirement A. But if your work is writing cigarette ads, the chances are you've missed requirement B. On the other hand, if your work is being a doctor in a leper colony, you have probably met requirement B. But if most of the time you're bored and depressed by it, chances are you have not only bypassed A, but probably aren't helping your patients much either. Neither the hair shirt nor the soft berth will do. The place God calls you to is the place where your deep gladness and the world's deep hunger meet. End quote. From what I've observed, there are some people whose calling is so clear from an early age. It's almost as if these people were born into their vocations. Such was Giovanni's juggling. It was what he offered the world and Christ in deep joy. But for most people, finding their vocational work in the world is a lifelong journey. There are competing priorities of earning a living and doing what we love. Our jobs can be both a source of our deep joy meeting the world's needs and a distraction from these things. They can often frustratingly be both at the same time, moments of profound call followed by days of tedious paperwork or emails or wanting to kick the copier. We wrestle with the responsibilities to employer and institution, and these responsibilities at times work with and at times against the deeper meanings of work that we do. The wrestling is perhaps more alive in this past year as workers transition back to the office or not in their own paid jobs. What role does and must the paid work we do play in our lives? But matching job to vocation also glaringly leaves out the profound work that takes place outside of paid careers, whether house and land work or parenting, being a spouse or a single person, or volunteerism, or the myriad and profound work that happens in the oddly named time of retirement, which isn't retirement so much as a transition of deciding how time and work is committed and to what end. Perhaps more often our hobbies, more than our jobs, are where our delight intersects with the world's deep needs. Discerning where God calls us can also be difficult because there are all sorts of competing and louder voices. Many of these voices, in the United States at least, tell us to pursue what gets us ahead of our neighbor. This discernment is a large part of the impetus behind the book, The Second Mountain, by the New York Times commentator and author David Brooks. He describes two different kinds of work or vocational mountains, and he writes this about them. If the first mountain is about building up the ego and defining the self, the second mountain is about shedding the ego and losing the self. If the first mountain is about acquisition, the second mountain is about contribution. If the first mountain is elitist, moving up, the second mountain is egalitarian, planting yourself amid those who need and walking arm in arm with them. You don't climb the second way. You don't climb the second mountain the way you climb the first mountain. You conquer your first mountain. You identify the summit and you claw your way towards it. But you are conquered by the second mountain. You surrender to some summons, and you do everything necessary to answer the call and address the problem or injustice that is in front of you. End quote. You surrender to a summons. Yes. Or perhaps, as others have described, it is learning to open mind and heart to that still small voice, which is always and persistently speaking. What is work that matters? And what is my part in it? What is yours? In the Christian tradition, this voice whispers of work which is just, which is humble, which is merciful, which is loving and life-giving. Vocational discernment can be difficult, but not impossible. And I believe God is bigger than our confusion, our missteps, and the responsibilities by which we are bound, both real and imagined. I will explore more of this topic next week. But in the meantime, may we help each other hear that sacred voice that is calling. And may we lead each other as we learn to surrender to its summons. Amen. Our hymn of the day is "You Have Come Down to the Lake Shore," ELW 817.